From NPR News in Washington, I'm Barbara Klein. Some major companies are reporting second quarter losses today, as analysts expected. Telecom giant Verizon says its profits fell 21%. In the manufacturing sector, Honeywell reports profits declined 38%. And insurance company Aetna says it lost 28% in the second quarter net income because of higher medical costs due in part to more emergency room visits. In some positive economic news, the sale of new homes in June jumped a more than expected 11% compared to May. That's the biggest monthly gain in 8 years. Two senior Republicans on the Senate Judiciary Committee announced today they will not vote for U.S. Supreme Court nominee Sonia Sotomayor. Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama and Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley both referred to what they said was Sotomayor's liberal bias. Conservative groups and the GOP leadership have increased pressure to oppose her confirmation, but Sotomayor is still expected to win easy approval from the committee tomorrow and the full Senate next week. Republican Senator Jim Bunning of Kentucky announced today he'll retire at the end of his term next year, the sixth GOP senator who's decided not to seek re-election in 2010. More from NPR's David Wellner.
Senator Jim Bunning has a reputation in the Senate for being quirky and cantankerous, and he was true to form in the statement he released announcing his retirement. The 77-year-old Republican said he decided not to seek a third term only because he has not been able to raise enough money to do so effectively. And Bunning placed the blame for that squarely on the shoulders of his fellow party members. Over the past year, he said in a statement, some of the leaders of the Republican Party in the Senate have done everything in their power to dry up my fundraising. It was a thinly veiled reference to Kentucky's other GOP senator, Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, who's made it no secret he did not want his gaffe-prone fellow senator to run again. David Wellner, NPR News, the Capitol.
Much of the usually cool Pacific Northwest is under an excessive heat warning. NPR's Martin Costi has the story from Seattle.
Temperatures are up in the mid-90s this week here in Seattle, and in a town where air conditioning is rare, that leaves you little alternative than to put on the shorts and park yourself directly in front of a fan. Down in Portland, things are even worse. The temperatures there may break 100 by Wednesday. In this region, numbers like that are worrisome, not just for people, but forests. Many counties are calling the fire danger high or extreme. And just over the border, the Canadians have already been dealing with a series of stubborn fires, which are threatening to flare up again as temperatures climb. Martin Costi, NPR News, in front of a fan in Seattle.
On Wall Street today, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up 15 points at 9,108. The Nasdaq picked up 1 point to close at 1967. This is NPR News. U.S. and Chinese officials are meeting in Washington, part of a push by the White House to improve cooperation between their two countries. President Obama kicked off the talks today, saying the U.S. relationship with China will shape the 21st century. Meanwhile, the leaders of mainland China and Taiwan exchanged greetings today. It was the highest level sign so far of warming ties between the two rival governments. NPR's Anthony Kuhn reports on that from Beijing.
Chinese President Hu Jintao sent a telegram congratulating Taiwanese President Ma Ying-jeou on his election yesterday as head of Taiwan's ruling Nationalist Party. China sees Taiwan as one of its provinces, not a sovereign state, and the two governments maintain contacts through semi-official organizations. But the Communist and Nationalist parties have resumed high-level contacts in recent years. Hu wrote to Ma that he hoped both parties could strengthen mutual trust. Ma wrote back expressing similar thoughts. Since his election as president last May, Ma has moved to improve ties with Beijing. Analysts say Ma made his bid to lead the Nationalist Party both to consolidate his grip on power domestically and to open channels for direct contacts with mainland leaders. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Beijing.
Seven North Carolina men were arrested today after more than 200 FBI agents and local police raided their compound. The group is charged with plotting to wage a violent jihad overseas and is accused of conspiring to provide financial and material assistance to terrorist organizations abroad. Officials say the leader of the group is a Muslim convert who trained in Pakistan, recruited followers, and has been amassing weapons. I'm Barbara Klein, NPR News in Washington.